flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Our Pels Power Hour continues here on Sports Talk. Now talking with Locked On Pelicans podcast host Jake Madison. Jake, how you been doing today, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on to talk some hoops here.
Appreciate it for sure. We just listened to the Zion Williamson audio after today's practice where he was talking about the want to play in back-to-back games for this team right now, but basically saying he's an employee of the Pelicans and they're holding him back at the moment, so he's just listening to what they're saying. What do you make of that? Is it basically the team just trying to protect him from injuries? Is it being maybe coddled too much?
You know, I think this is them just kind of trying to protect Zion, maybe even just from himself. And I do think it's worth mentioning that, you know, after that media availability where he was talking, he said, you know, I'm rocking with them on that decision. He didn't seem upset about that decision or anything like that. And I think this was just, you know, a chance for him to maybe clear the air a little bit to a lot of fans who were wondering why he was maybe not playing on back-to-backs, things like that, wondering if it's him being lazy, given kind of the reputation that he has. And, you know, one thing I can say for certain is this is a guy who wants to play basketball. I don't think there's ever been a period, despite all of the off-court stuff, where he's never wanted to be on the court hooping. And so this was a way for him to kind of show that. And if you're the Pelicans, look, you're not in the playoff hunt. There's no reason to risk any sort of long-term injury to him on the second night of a back-to-back. And it's less about conditioning and more about recovery. One of the things you've seen a lot of teams around the league do, and Zion talked about the numbers kind of are dictating this, they use a lot of like high-end technology to measure fatigue, seeing if guys are their usual selves. I'll have them jump on mats and things like that that can measure the force. And when those numbers come back lower, it shows the guys maybe a little bit more tired. That can lead to an increase of injury risk. And that's the Pelicans, I think, really just trying to limit that right now in a season where you don't need to take those kind of risks. If they were in playoff contention, would this be a different story? And I think it might be. I think this is them just thinking long-term in a season where, yeah, they should be thinking long-term.
Jake, before we get into the trade deadline, which is 1 week away, I want to get your thoughts on the Boston Celtics, this game tomorrow night in the Smoothie King Center. I know the Pels and Celtics recently played a matchup that was very, very tight. The Pels lose by 1 point, kind of a heartbreaker. CJ McCollum misses the layup late. I think that's the right game. Anyways, so they're coming to the Smoothie King Center for this matchup on Friday night. Just want to kind of get your thoughts on that matchup against, you know, the defending champs before we do a deep dive on the trade deadline, which is officially 1 week away.
Yeah, look, this one's going to come down to the three-point line. Boston's more beatable this year than they were a year ago. They've been a little bit up and down, especially in the new year so far. So you can go on out and win this game, and you're correct. It was the one where CJ McCollum missed a buzzer-beating layup right at the end when they could have and should have maybe won that game without Zion Williamson. Or Zion Williamson did play in that game, I think. I can't remember now. So they're competitive, but this is going to come down to three-point shooting. Boston shoots an absolute ton of threes. They're taking over 48 threes per game. That's first in the league. New Orleans, in their loss to Dallas the other night, couldn't really even get to like 35 threes. This one could simply be a math battle where if the Celtics are making threes and the Pelicans are making twos, even if you're going shot for shot with them, you're falling behind every possession. They're going to need to get the threes up. They're going to need to make those threes if they want to have a chance to win this game.
Charlie mentioned, Jake, the trade deadline a week away, and I guess the biggest name or the most likely to be traded name is Brandon Ingram, who we haven't seen in God knows the last time he was in action for this squad.
December 7th, Steve.
Okay, Charlie's got to embrace
it. It's almost been 2 months since he's been out with an ankle sprain. So,
can we expect him to be on the move, or are we just going to see him continuing to rot on the bench as a in street clothes 2.0?
Yeah, good question. You know, I talked about on Locked On Pelicans just last week. I think we might have seen him play his final game in a Pelicans uniform. But I also could mean that if he doesn't get traded, I think he's obviously the guy they're looking to try and move. But the trade market for him is just not developed. And if the Pelicans wanted to come to an agreement on some sort of extension, pay him the money that he wants, they could have done that by now. So it's very clear they're looking to move on from Brandon Ingram just for contractual reasons, more so than anything else. And there is a questionable fit between him and Zion Williamson, I think, but no one's really biting. And I think that's going to make it really tough to get a deal done before the trade deadline. And now things are kind of have a wrench thrown in with the De'Aaron Fox trade request from the Sacramento Kings. You know, a team like the San Antonio Spurs that might've had some interest in Brandon Ingram before certainly aren't going to make a move for Ingram until they figure out what's going on with De'Aaron Fox, whether that's getting him now or even getting him in the off season, which might then stop them from going after Brandon Ingram if they miss out on Fox at this trade deadline. And I think a number of teams are going to feel that way, that they're going to say, well, if that guy's available, we got to wait to exhaust all options with that first before we move on to our second choice guy or even third or fourth choice guy in Brandon Ingram. That to me says, I just don't see a trade. And if he's not traded,
ouch,
does he play again for this team is the big question, at least this season. And I think the answer could be no. You know, it's been almost 2 months since he's played a game. We know that he doesn't come back from injuries very quickly. You know, at this point, with the season being lost and the focus needing to be on next year, is it best to just shut him down? At this point, does he even want to play for the Pelicans again if he feels disrespected from them? And I definitely think that that could be a factor into this. You know, should he come back healthy after the trade deadline, with New Orleans really shifting their focus to next season, as they should? You have basically 30 games of preseason training camp next year to work through some things, to try different guys, to give some young guys some run and see who they are. Brandon Ingram's going to eat into those minutes. And if you're also actively trying to lose games, tanking here for one of the top draft picks, Ingram's going to help you win games. So it just does you no real good to play him. Now, if he's healthy, can they sit him? I'm not sure that they can. There's some league rules and stuff that gets involved in that. But those are the questions that the team is kind of facing right now. And that's where things could get messy. I never thought this was going to get messy leading up to the trade deadline where he might request a trade. You know, he recently switched to Clutch Sports as his representation. They tend to take a bit of a scorched earth approach. That he had no leverage to do anything like that here. But could it get messy after the trade deadline, where maybe he does want to play to showcase his talent to get a, you know, a contract in the offseason, but that's not in the Pelicans' best interest? And that's where things might get a little bit heated, let's say.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake, I don't think it's as openly toxic as like the Anthony Davis situation was, obviously. But I think at this point, with everything that happened, and we talked to you multiple times last summer leading up into the season about the failure to get him on an extension and how both sides were just too far apart in contract talks, Brandon Ingram's not going to be here next year. So even if you don't get maximum value, because maximum value is already passed for this player, you still got to get something for him, don't you? Like, ahead of this deadline, I know that it's going to be about finding the right trade partner, but the fact that we've already kind of heard a little bit of buzz about Toronto potentially being interested. Bobby Marks had a great article on ESPN Plus about, you know, the 30 teams and what they could do ahead of next week's deadline, and he even included maybe San Antonio as a potential destination for Brandon Ingram in his services. But it just feels that if he's on this team, I agree with you 100%. I don't think he's going to play for the Pelicans again, and they may end up shutting him down if he doesn't get moved. But it just feels like a missed opportunity if you don't get something. And I know that they don't want to do pennies on the dollar, so to speak, but maybe get 50 cents on the dollar.
They'll get something for him. And, you know, even if that's in the offseason, there's only going to be one team with salary cap space, and that's the Brooklyn Nets. Free agency in the NBA doesn't exist like it did before. When teams are discussing or pundits are discussing like a team needs expiring salary, you used to do that so that it would fall off your books, and then you had $40 million to spend in free agency, and you could go get a LeBron James and Amari Stoudemire, some of those other big names that we've seen move in free agency in the past. It just doesn't work like that. You know, this year with Paul George going to the Philadelphia 76ers was very much an outlier. It's all about extending guys and then trading them while they still have maximum value, something the Pelicans failed with Brandon Ingram here. But that's how that gets done. So if Ingram wants to go to a team and get paid more than $13 million a year because the Nets aren't signing him, he's going to need the Pelicans to sign and trade him there. And so that means you'll get something in return. Will it be good? Probably not. It might be pennies on the dollar, closer to that than 50 cents on the dollar, but you'll get something in return. And I don't really see a scenario where he just walks and the Pelicans get nothing. But you also want to make sure you get stuff back that you want in the first place too. You don't want to take on bad contracts. And I've seen the, you know, things with the Toronto Raptors. That RJ Barrett contract I don't find pretty good, and wouldn't necessarily want that in a deal just to say that you got a player in return if it's going to hurt you more long term, as you're trying to kind of avoid that with the Brandon Ingram situation right now. So that's kind of where the Pelicans find themselves with it. They'll get something. It just might not be good. And they just got to make sure they get stuff that they want versus stuff that they don't want, just to help facilitate a trade.
There's plenty of rumors swirling, obviously, at this time of year because we're so close to the deadline. One of the reports I saw today from someone saying that Milwaukee Bucks have heavy interest in acquiring Jose Alvarado. Would it make any sense for this Pel squad to move on from a guy like Alvarado?
I mean, not if you're just only moving him. I don't think that makes any sort of sense, right? He's on a very good contract. He helps this team. He's beloved by his teammates. Yeah. That's the type of guy that you would throw into a deal that's like sweetener for another team just to get that deal like done. You know, where he's not the main piece, but if you include him in there, we'll say yes. And that's the way that they would throw him in a trade. He's pretty beloved by the organization. He's beloved by his teammates. He's just a hard worker that brings a type of energy that, look, the rest of the team often doesn't have. That, I think, is an important guy to keep. You don't just give up on those guys for no reason. If it's part of a larger deal that you think is like a paradigm shifter for you in terms of the player that you're getting back, that would be one thing. You saw that kind of with Larry Nance Jr. going to Atlanta in the DeJounte Murray trade. They loved Larry Nance Jr. here. We saw it with him, you know, starting the second half and playing all of those games last season. They didn't really want to include him in there, but that's the only way that you could get that deal done. That's where you'll see maybe Jose Alvarado get moved.
No, I agree, Jake, because just sending him off for like a deal with 2 second-round picks, or like, you already have the proven commodity in Jose Alvarado. You know what he provides his team. You know what, you know, he means to the community down here. People love him. His teammates love him. It just, it doesn't make any sense if you're just going to move on from him for just like a couple second-round picks or anything like that. I don't really understand that report. Now, Steve and I were talking earlier as well, Jake, about CJ McCollum, because, you know, CJ, he set the record for franchise 3 points made last night. He's been here for 3 years. We love CJ. Steve and I have just praised his professionalism. He's a true pro down here. But we could, and this is my speculation, if he goes to the Pelicans and it's kind of a similar situation of Jrue Holiday, where he wants to go, you know, win a championship somewhere, you know, the Pelicans, I think they would be right to do right by CJ, so to speak, and potentially move on from him. But have you heard anything about CJ and, you know, his time here, if he wants to stay here? Because I think if he wants to stay here as well, it's like the flip side of the coin. You know, the Pelicans would be happy to have him. Pelicans fans love CJ. So, you know, just your thoughts on CJ McCollum ahead of this deadline as well.
Are you sure Pelicans fans love CJ McCollum? Because my mentions after
they should
games definitely say otherwise. But I agree with you. Like, he has been very good here. He shot the three ball particularly well. He's been one of the guys that's just consistently showed up and been a professional. And that's something that's been lacking on this team, particularly from the star player in Zion Williamson. And don't forget, CJ McCollum was the guy that got Zion to return to the team that year that Zion was out the whole season. It was him calling him out on TV that got Zion to be like, all right, I need to get back. I need to start kind of doing the things I need to be doing. And that was an important thing. So CJ has meant a lot to this team. You know, I think if the right offer came through, New Orleans would trade him. I definitely think that's something they should really consider. I just don't know if he has a ton of market out there with that contract that he's making this year and next year at $30+ million. You're seeing the new collective bargaining agreement, the new CBA, really scare off a lot of teams from those high-priced veteran players. That's going to kind of limit certain aspects, I think, that you could get in return for him. But if the right deal was there, I think New Orleans should jump on that, because look, there's a trade coming. They're going to make a deal before the trade deadline because they're a little over $2 million into the luxury tax, and they're not going to pay that, nor should they pay that right now. So this is a team that will get a deal done. I'd rather you make a bigger move like that with CJ McCollum in a year that doesn't matter for you anymore, as opposed to attaching second-round picks to a minimum contract, and that's how you get under the luxury tax. Can you do it in a way that helps you long-term versus just ducking under the tax this season? And CJ McCollum feels like the best move that they could make for something like that.
Jake, definitely always appreciate your time. Always great knowledge, and hopefully we get some good basketball the rest of the stretch here with the Pels. We don't really, you know, not expecting a miracle here to get back into the play-in hunt even, but just want to, me and Charlie have talked about wanting to see, just play some competitive good basketball. And even last night's game against the Mavericks, there wasn't really defense going on, but it was still an entertaining game.
It was like shot-for-shot type of thing.
Oh, it was fun. Look, that's the perfect kind of loss. Zion played well. Your star players played well. It was competitive, and you lost right at the end. And look, for lottery and tanking purposes, that's great. For trade value of guys, that's great. Just for basketball reasons, not being down 15 was fun to watch. It's a good loss. I think you'll start to see more of those as the season goes on.
Thank you again, Jake. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, Jake.
Thanks for having me on, y'all.
For all things Pelicans, subscribe to the Locked On Pelicans podcast on the Odyssey app. That's part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Steve,
your team every day.
I got beef with Pelicans fans that dislike CJ McCollum. You're going to hate the guy that shows up every night and is actually a professional? Get out of here, man. Like, that's terrible. I love CJ. I mean, CJ's got all my respect. He's a true pro. And listen, like, I would be fine with keeping CJ here. As Jay kind of mentioned there,
I think they look at the price tag too.
The contract is one thing that's right. Worth considering, because he's making over $30 million this year and next year. He's under contract for 2025, 26 as well. So, you know, if he wants to stay here, I'm all about it. But people, I mean, listen, Twitter's one thing, because Jake, yes, I'm sure that he sees that on social media all the time, that, you know, people will be pounding on CJ after a bad game. I just can't do it. Man, like, he's the one that's out there every single night. It's like DeJounte, too. It's like two veterans in the backcourt that you can trust on every single night to be out there and giving their all. I will never hate CJ McCollum.
It's going to be interesting to see what is going to transpire here, because like Jake said, and we've heard a few other people talk about, there is going to be a move from this Pels squad. It's just, what is it? Who is it?
Yeah, it's
and
playing
what are you going to get?
It's playing like a guess who. Is it going to be CJ? Is it going to be BI? Is it going to be Jose? And I'm of the same opinion as Jake. I'm not trading Jose just by himself just to get under the luxury tax. You may have to attach CJ.
That makes sense if you're going to do like a – to sweeten the deal.
Right. You may have to attach, you know, Jose to a CJ deal or a BI deal. But you're not just going to do it by itself, I wouldn't think, unless a team gives like a first-round pick for Jose, which I don't expect that to happen. So, you know, a couple things to keep in mind. It's like a guessing game right now of who's going to get moved ahead of the deadline. We have ideas on who it may be. It's just a matter of finding the right deal and finding the package that you're looking for.